the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So I know that today's gospel is a little bit long, okay, so I'll try to keep the sermon a little bit short, to kind of balance it out that way. So I'll try to keep it short and simple, okay, and you decide the sweet part, but I'll keep it short and simple, and you guys figure out the rest there. So today's story is a story that everyone knows very well, the story of the Samaritan woman. Beautiful story that even the coldest heart has to be touched by this story. Even the heart that's furthest away from God can't hear the story and see the story of the Samaritan woman without feeling that they themselves, each one of us, is inside that Samaritan woman and her story. And that's why a beautiful story about a simple woman, a peasant woman, a nobody woman, will forever and forever and forever be told, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people will be encouraged and inspired by her beautiful story. It's a story about an ordinary woman who has nothing special in and of herself. In fact, if there's anything special in her, it's bad. Very bad. She's the worst person ever at the start of this story. But at the end of the story, she's the best person ever. And that's why inside her, all of us see that piece of ourselves that we hope, like the reason that we come here to church on Sunday, that we're not sleeping right now, is because that we hope, at least to a degree, that we can have the same thing the Samaritan woman. She may be more dramatic, but we want the same thing. She walked into church, or not to church, she walked to a well to get a drink of water. And she walked into that well, the worst person ever, and she left that well, the best person ever. Imagine you go to the water fountain today, after church is over, you meet someone by the water fountain, you have a little discussion, and your life is changed forever. For the better. She was thirsty, now she never thirsts. She was hungry, now she never hungered. She was lonely and empty and unfulfilled and unsatisfied. And one, you know how they say it can't happen overnight. Change can happen overnight. Hers didn't happen overnight. It happened in a matter of a conversation, in a matter of minutes or hour, whoever knows how long it was. And all of a sudden, a lady who came to get a drink of water found something much better. She found a new life, peace, joy, purpose, hope, all these beautiful words. The best part of the story to me, as I was reading it this weekend, and I kept reading it over and over, to try to discover. Sometimes people come to me and they tell me that they want more in life. And they want to change and stuff like that. And you have to answer some way. The best thing that I was looking is when this lady came to our Lord Jesus Christ, the best part of her conversion was its simplicity. There was no complicated formulas. There was no, like, waiting period. There was no algorithms to figure out or quadratic equations or something like that. She didn't have to read a certain number of books or to attend a certain number of download some sermons from online or something like that. There was nothing. It was almost too simple. And we look at that story and we say, where's all the stuff? Like, where's the stuff? You know the stuff. The stuff that here I am in my spiritual life and I want to get to where she got to, and there's a lot of stuff. Like, have to pray without ceasing. I can't pray without ceasing. And I have to read my Bible and memorize verses, and I have to all this kind of stuff, and I'm just not good at that. Then I have to stop this sin and stop that sin. So we look at it, there's a lot of stuff between me and where I want to get to. Where's the stuff for her? Because she just showed up, sinful. She had a conversation, and she walked out. No stuff. There's a beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. St. Paul is speaking about the Christian life, about the walk in Christ. And he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Something that I say often is that Christianity is not complicated. Christians may be complicated, but Christianity is not complicated. Our faith is not a complicated faith. Our faith is based on our Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that he gave to the apostles, the disciples. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not a complicated man. He was a very simple man. In fact, he was looked down upon because he was too simple. He lived a peasant life. Son of a carpenter. Simple. The apostles, the disciples, they weren't scholars. They were simple people, fishermen, illiterate. Our church, the Coptic Church, placed great value on the desert fathers who held the faith strong for us. The monks, the desert fathers, were simple people who lived simple lives. We're the ones who complicate it with our formulas and our analyses and our ways of computing. What does it mean when I'm good spiritually? What does it mean when I'm bad spiritually? And we ought all of these different things that complicate a very simple message. Our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't complicated. We're complicated. We see a woman here today. Adultery. Married 5 times. Sixth man, not her husband. At the bottom of the barrel. No hope, no nothing. And then we see her transformed in an instant. In extreme simplicity. And then I look at my life, and my life, uphill battle. And I see my life, all these obstacles. And I see that I can't, and all this kind of stuff. Why was it so simple for her, and so complicated for me? Okay. I'm trying to answer the question, and I'm telling you up front, I'm going to be a little bit abstract. Okay? So the answer is not as simple as 1 + 2 = 3. Because, again, that's the human complicated. So it's a little bit abstract. So go with me on the abstract. Hopefully by the end, we'll have a little practical. There was one element that was critical to her transformation. One element. Of course, the key component is God's mercy and God's compassion and God's love. That's the key, of course, but that's for everyone. But I'm talking about the key difference between her and me. Because God is the same for her as he is for me. So his compassion is the same for me and love, all that's the same. So that's the foundation, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about her. There was a key component that she had that sometimes we lack. If I had to summarize it in one word, I would say the word trust. That she trusted him. I know, again, that's an abstract term. It's very theoretical. It's very vague. I can't define it, but let me draw you a picture, and maybe the picture can help define it or help us understand it a little bit. Every one of us in life starts off living for ourselves. Everyone. Everyone starts living for themselves, and at some point along the way, you make the realization that you no longer want to live for yourselves. You want to live a godly life. You want to live a life for Christ. You no longer want to live for yourself. Some people make that decision young, some people old, whatever. At some point in time, you make a decision that no more do I care so much about what I want. I want to do what he wants, even if it's opposite of what I want. In between there and there, there's sometimes a middle step that takes place. Like I always say for myself, is that ever since I was a child, I was coming to church. And I was always coming to church. But there came a certain point in time in my life in my youth where what I always say is that I was I was in church, but now church became inside me. Where I made a decision that I wanted to do more than just attend church and just, like, I wanted to do more. And I would say that's the point of trust. That's the point where I decided that it's no more about what I want or what I want to do. I want to do what he wants. And I want to live that life. And it's a decision that you kind of make. Again, it's abstract, it's vague, but go with me. Imagine in life, you're driving a car. Everyone starts off in life with their own car, driving like someone who just gets a license for the first time, 16-year-old, like a maniac. And we get our own car, and we're driving around. And I get my own car, and I got freedom in my own car, and I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to drive through this. Teenagers don't do this, by the way. I'm just saying what the bad teenagers do. And I'm going to drive to this, and I'm going to drive there, and now my mom doesn't need to give me a ride, and now no one knows where I'm going, and now I can go here, and now I'm going to do this, and we start driving and living for ourselves. And then somewhere along the way, we make the realization that driving this much is probably not going to be good for me. God seems like wise, seems like he knows what he's doing. I'm probably going to be judged by him some point in time in life. I'm probably going to have to stand before him. So let me, when I get in my car every now and then, I'm going to drive up to his house. I'm going to knock. I'm going to say, what do you think of these plans? And every now and then, I'll even bring him in my car with me. And we'll say, hey, we're going to go to church now. And I'll take him back, leave him back where he came. And sometimes I pick them up twice a day. In the morning, drop them back off. In the evening, drop them back off. And every now and then I'm going to check in with him. And a lot of us are living that kind of life. What the Samaritan woman did today was the issue, the point of trust, where she stopped living that life. She drove to his house. She parked the car. She took the keys. She gave them to him. And she got in his car. And to me, I can't put into words the difference, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. A lot of us complicate matters, and we live a complicated life because in our mind, we have all these decisions to make, and we have all this stuff that we need to do, and we need Jesus to come and bless this, and we need him to come help me with this decision, and we need him to this and that. Samaritan woman made it easy for him. Said, I'm not smart. I'm not complicated. Here's the keys. You do what you want with my car. You want to throw it away? Throw it away. You want to sell it for scrap? Do what you want with it. I'm going to sit in your car. And I'm just going to go where you go. And no more am I going to ask you, God, what decision do you want to bless? I'm sorry. I made it backwards. No more am I going to ask you, God, please bless my decision. And please bless my job. I'm going to be in your car. And you want me, you want to bless this job? Okay, I'll take this job. You don't want to bless that job? Okay, I don't want to take that job. You want to bless this lifestyle? Okay, I'll take that lifestyle. You don't want to bless that lifestyle? Okay, I don't want that lifestyle. No more am I going to ask him to bless what I want to do. I'm going to do what he wants to bless. And no more am I going to hold on to stuff and my own stuff. I'm just going to let go of it and let him do whatever it is that he wants. The life of trust does not debate which commands to obey. The life of trust opens this up, and before I've opened it, I've already begun obeying. I'm going to open it, and whatever it says, I'm going to obey. The life of trust doesn't read and obey. The life of trust is ready to obey, and it just reads what God's want me to obey today. The life of trust, said another way, you know how they say, you tell me jump, or you say jump, I say how high. You know that expression? You say jump, I say how high. The life of trust is the one where I'm already like this before he's even said jump. All he's got to do is point, and there I am. That's the life the Samaritan woman found today. And that's why her life was transformed. Oftentimes, we hold on to stuff. And I can't explain it for you, but I can understand it for me, and I hope you can understand it for you. We hold on to stuff. And it's the stuff that we hold on to, not just physical stuff. I'm not talking about like materialistic stuff. It could be like my ego, my pride, my image stuff. It could be like trying to please so-and-so stuff. It could be any kinds of stuff, certain things that I just want and certain things that I don't want that he keeps giving to me. Those things that we hold on to. Life of trust, trust his word before he speaks. Life of trust, trust his goodness even when I don't see it. Life of trust, trust his love even when I've fallen and I feel like the worst, most miserable person. I trust his mercy. I trust his compassion. I trust his forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying by life of trust? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave a promise to the Samaritan woman this day. In John chapter 4, verse 13, he said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the well water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I read this verse, and this verse is a hard verse to trust. If you really understand what it's saying, and if you're really trying to live this. This is a hard verse to trust. Because what this verse says is stop trying to get anything, and stop trying to chase, and stop trying to be, and stop trying to do, and stop being complicated. Come to me, and I got you taken care of. But Lord, what about? As soon as you say, but what about? Just come to me, and I got you taken care of. I promised it. Sometimes, you know, we hear promises, and we live in Washington, D.C., political capital of the world. Election time, people make promises, then they get in office, and all of a sudden things change. People make promises in October, September, then all of a sudden things come January, February, things change. So we look at a promise like this and say, okay, now he's just trying to win some votes right now. He's trying to get elected or something like that. We're not that foolish. We're not going to let go of everything. We know how this political game works. No, when Jesus makes a promise, he keeps it. When Jesus makes a promise, he keeps it. 100%. And he says simply, let go. And again, I'm sorry, I can't give it practical. But if I gave it practical, it would go back to the complicated. So I'm trying to keep it this way. Let go. Trust me. Period. End of story. What about the uphill and the struggle? Look, let go. Trust me. We'll take care of all that. I'm your shepherd. I'll lead you through. If there's wolves, I'll fight them. If there's rivers, I'll carry you. I'm the shepherd. I'm the one who gives the stuff. Trust me, let go. And when you do that, then you will see, like the Samaritan woman saw. My goal, my hope that we can get to today, the last verse of the gospel says, after the Samaritan woman believed, she went and told the people in the city. They said, oh, let's check this out ourselves. They went and found Christ. They dragged him back to the city. They said, stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. And at the very end, it says, now we believe, not because of what you have said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Samaritan woman story can be your story and can be my story. If we, like these people, would believe. Bible says that to him who believes, all things are possible. Every one of our Lord Jesus Christ's promises about water, about life, about joy, about fulfillment, about all those things, every single one of them to the exact letter is true when we trust, when we let go, when we stop trying to hold on to stuff, and when we stop trying to drive our car and we get out and we let him throw the old car away and we hop in his new car. The one promise that you will never regret, that you will never regret holding the guy to it, is the promise that our Lord Jesus Christ makes here today. You know, in the 40 Days to Live campaign that we're doing, one of the things that I said every week in Light and Life when we talking about 40 Days to Live, the goal of the campaign is no regrets. The goal of the campaign is that when life is said and done, I get to the end of it and I don't regret anything. I'm going to love, no regrets. I'm going to live passionately, no regrets. I want to live my life so that whenever it ends, I don't have any regrets. Because the worst thing is to get to that point and regret. Trust me, if you trust this promise, you won't regret. Trust me. Well, trust him. You won't regret. Because he always keeps his word. And today he promises us that anyone who lets go, I got you. Anyone who stops trying and stops trying to do it themselves, I'll take care of you and I'll give you water that make you never thirst again. This is our chance. We're doing 40 Days to Live. Who knows if we're going to live to another year of Samaritan Woman Sunday? Who knows if we're going to live to another year of this beautiful season of Lent, where the church gives us a chance to really focus and really prepare and really get something sweet in return, a new life in return. Who knows if we're ever going to have another chance. This is your chance. You let go. You put the trust. You believe. All things possible to him who believes. Glory be to God forever. Amen.